Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lebanon. Again, today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this date, March 16, 2025. Today's episode is still rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeling as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Another thing I need to do before we start the show is I want to acknowledge the heartbeat of this conversation. And that's all you listeners. So before we start, I want you to stand up and just applaud your beautiful selves. But what if I don't believe I'm beautiful? Then fake it till you make it. And if you happen to be a new listener, this is your first time listening to me, I'm also welcoming you. So applaud yourself and B Black says welcome. Yay! Here's hoping I say something on this podcast that resonates and allows us to make history together. All right, website, shutuppodcast.com, email address is shutuppodcast@401@gmail.com. In today's episode, titled 248, I'm still figuring out, I'm titled to be determined, but I'll be talking about my recent trip to Montreal and why I didn't record the last episode, actually, because I was in Montreal. And before we get to that, let's start with some news and random thought. No, that's a lie. Let's start with some quote and some randomness. Let's go. Okay, first quote. It goes, finding your people makes you realize there's nothing wrong with you. Mm. Second quote. You want to win in life? Fall in love with losing because most people are scared of it. I mean, if losing is an art, I can talk to you about that. and last, the question goes, never disqualify yourself. It goes, bro, apply for that job even if you don't think you meet the requirements. Let them disqualify you. Never disqualify yourself. Never be the one who says no to yourself. Yeah, shoot your shot. Pretty much, prove your shot. That one quote that I read about being in love with losing. I was gonna say that. Okay. What I was going to say is, yes, there was a point in my life where I had gotten so used to losing, but I told myself, "There's got to be some." I'm gonna formulate this thought. I'd gotten so used, I didn't feel like a loser. There we go. That's what I was trying to say. I felt like, because based on what I was seeing with people who, it's like I was handling it better than most of the people who were used on winning and then they would lose and then they'd be like, oh my God. Let me open up a vein. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not here. I wouldn't coach anybody about bouncing back. But I remember feeling like, it's like I knew this quote even before I read it. It's one of those notions that I've suspected. like the whole, like the guy who always wins all the time. I'm going to have to process this one, but all this to say that it's possible to lose and not be a loser. There. All right, let's get to some randomness. Okay, you know, I'm debating on doing politics, but let me pace myself. Let me figure this out here. Excuse me. Okay, first of all, as you likely notice, there wasn't an episode on Wednesday. My bad. I even forgot to, on the last episode, to tell you that I was not going to there wasn't going to be an episode. And yeah, my bad. You know, I'm trying to keep shit consistent, but whatever. But like I said, the reason why there wasn't an episode, it's because I was on the train to Montreal. Actually, at the time that I've been recording, I was at a comedy show in Montreal. But I'll get into that in the feature thought. I'll explain all that in feature thought. But thinking about what else happened between now and the last episode. Excuse me. March 14. Well, why don't I give a fuck? That's Pi Day. And shout out to you nerds, pretty much, man. Shout out to us nerds who acknowledge, respect Pi Day and do something about it. With knowledge of self, there's nothing I can't solve. At 360 degrees, I resolve. That shit is too deep for some of y'all, man. Too deep for some of y'all. And, yeah. So, I had to, a friend of mine, we have this tradition on Pi Day. We eat a pie. Like, and I guess a lot of people do that, too. And we weren't able to eat a pie on Pi Day, but we ate it today, and I just had it. And I'm not really a big pie person. What the fuck? You know, I don't celebrate Easter. I don't celebrate Lent. Might as well just celebrate something. My point is we picked up a pie, the gluten-free pie. I'm not a gluten-free person, but whatever. It doesn't matter. But this shit was good. Good as hell. It was fucking good. I'm not saying I would suck a dick for that pie, but I am saying I would understand if you did. All right, that's how good it was. Send me an email if you want the location of this pie place, this great pie place. All right. Yes, March 14, happy pie day. Happy belated pie day. Politics. You know, I'm going to leave this in the show notes just because I'm trying to get it's just, you know, like I said, usually in randomness, a lot of the time some of the stuff that I'll put in randomness is links that I found on social media, and I want to talk about it. And this one is, I'm going to leave this in the show notes, in the other link section, and it's a clip to a video of this French dude, you can tell by his accent, this French dude explaining his theory as to why, his theory as into the Trump and Elon relationship, and more to the point how Trump is the mastermind in this shit and he keeps Elon around. Bottom line is he keeps Elon around to when shit goes wrong, shit goes bad, he's got someone to point the finger at. But the brother actually gives you a very well-founded theory that it's worth checking out. And and that's under the show notes under other links section with the title, the label, Trump and Elon. There. All right. Okay, so let me get rid of this. Okay. All right. Clean this up. Okay, next item on the show note. Something else. I went to the gym. I realized that I need to do shit so I can have stuff to talk about on the podcast. I tried this thing called Orange Theory. And, it's this new group exercise. Whatever. I'm looking for a good place for beginners. And, I don't know. A friend of mine, she was like, so how's the workout? And I was like, See, what you got to understand is I wish I could find the words to articulate how much I hate going to the gym. And, so I managed to drag myself to this thing. Yeah, I'm going because I need to, you know, the whole heart thing, whatever, stuff like that, whatever. And trying to get some exercises, trying to get the cardiovascular going and shit like that. But fuck, there's got to be a better way to go about this than the gym. But whatever, man. Anyway, so I ended up going to a class, tried out the first class, and it was cool. It was all right, you know. My problem is I could already picture myself quitting. Anyways, I'm willing to give it a shot, to give it a try. But what bothered me is the salesperson, the contact who I was dealing with, right when I was getting ready to sign up for the basic program, she's trying to upsell me, and it bothered the fuck out of me. It's like, look, man, if I was a hoe, you'd be in violation, you'd be accused of scaring a hoes, man. Now you're doing shit like you're like talking yourself out of a sales. She was just because I don't know, whatever, man. She was reaching for this guy. No, do you want to get for you want to get the supreme package? Like, bitch, I want the basic package. It'll be a miracle if I could drag myself to the gym twice a week. Now I want to go with the package that allows me to come in once a week. Because like I said, getting myself to the gym is the workout. If I could do that, the bare minimum, then that's a win unto itself. And if I could do that consistently, then I can start worrying about, okay, all right, let's go, let's have goals, let's aim for this, whatever. I'm trying to like to be in the fucking gym. Anyways, so a little win for me is I made it to the gym this weekend. And last Friday. And I'm hoping to try it again. More news to follow. Last but not least, in randomness, I'm not going to do any news or anything like that. But I am going to say, personal stuff is, I don't know if I brought this, if I told you this already, but I am reading, okay, I'm going to go through the name of the title here. The name of this book here is, right now I'm reading the book Shift by Hugh Howey, New York bestseller. Anyways, what's Shift about? Shift, okay, if you've seen Silo, right? The TV series Silo on Apple TV, well, Silo is based off these books. And apparently there's three books, and Shift is two of the three. First one was called, it's, I don't know, why the fuck didn't you call it Silo Part 1? Okay, first one, I don't get it. First one was called Wool, and the third one is called Shift. And what's the last one then? Hold on a second, because now I'm curious. Yeah, you know what? B, you're in the middle of an episode here. Doesn't matter, whatever, man. Do the research. But my point is, when I talk about things that just are giving me pleasure in life, it's this goddamn book. Holy fuck, I'm enjoying it. It's like fiction. What is it about? I don't know how to explain. All right, let's see. Let me get the Hugh. What's his name? Howie. And okay. And you know what? The only reason I'm bringing, okay, so Shift, or the last one is called Dust. So the Silo series box set. 40, okay, and first one is called Wool, second one is called Shift, last one is called Dust. And there's a quote in there that just got my attention. I'm doing a bad job selling you on a book, am I? And it goes, liars and dead men, two parties unskilled at dispensing the truth. That's from Shift. I mean, it makes more sense when you hear it in the context that it's given to you. But I don't know. I just like, wait, it's my goddamn podcast. I found myself getting ready to apologize for the fact that I just enjoy neat quotes. Fun ways to, you know, to say obvious shit, but just the way you say it. The way you use words, it's like rap music. And this shit is a bar. That's what I'm trying to say, man. Liars and dead men. I might title this episode Liars and Dead Men and leave people confused on what the fuck is he talking about. Just because it sounds cool. Liars and dead men, two parties, unskilled at dispensing the truth. And anyways, just enjoying the book. And if you've read it, write in. Let me know your thoughts about it. If you haven't, I recommend it. Like, if you're into, like, fiction, you're just looking for that book that just, Calgon, take me away. I you got to be really old to understand that reference. I recommend it. It was, who knew? And I just realized that my favorite audiobooks when it comes to, like, fiction has always been based on a TV show, movie. And I think a lot of it is because I don't like, I like starting from the show because I don't trust my ability to create I don't trust my imagination. No, it's not, I don't trust my imagination. I don't trust my ability to listen to you, to listen to someone else, and then have my imagination paint a picture. Unless it's porn, unless it's like erotica, that's a different story, but whatever, yeah. Okay, all right. As she touched his breast. Yeah, I can see it, whatever. But anyways, Yeah, okay, I just realized this. It's, I forget the name of the song with Nas and the dude from the Marley Brothers. And whatever, man. And there's a line where he goes, have you ever, can you imagine a color that you've never seen? And I think that's what it is with fiction, is the challenge for me is they're describing a world that doesn't exist. And the whole, it's like it gives me anxiety using my imagination to transcribe something that's in someone else's imagination. I guess it's just a thing of listening. I know it sounds silly. It's like if I'm watching a movie, it's like, okay, all right, character's this, the character looks like that or whatever, or okay, this is what they mean by the castle. And that's exactly what it is. Because when the author, the writer, is describing shit, my brain is like, womp, 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 womp. There's something about paying attention to details that drives me nuts. Anyways, doesn't matter. My point is, I am so grateful that I found an audiobook that I enjoy, that's like captures my imagination and that's grabbing my time, giving me something to do or to listen to while I'm doing something like cleaning my tub or cooking and things like that. Only problem is I've been listening to a lot of podcasts as a result, but hey, you can blame Hugh Howie. Wait, is that his name? Did I fuck up his name? Hugh Howie, yes. To all the podcasts that I listen to, sorry, I've been cheated on you because of Hugh Howie. I've been cheating on you about Hugh Howie, yeah. All right, okay, this concludes randomness. Let's get to feature thought, all right? But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. All right. A word from our sponsor. No, a quick break. All right. They call me Lebanon. I'm back. They call me Lebanon. I'm back. All right. Okay. Oops. All right. Okay. All right. Before I get kicked off YouTube. Feature thought. All right. I'm back. By the way, I'm back. Where do I start? Okay, so on Crocker, I went to Montreal to go see a comedy show at Le Bordel, Comedy Club Le Bordel, right? And I went right after work, hopped on a train, the VRL, took the VRL, and it was fun, man. It was fun, you know. I was in like the econo section with all the po folks. That's the only thing I hate about traveling is when they separate, you know, the rich folks, VIP, and all you broke motherfuckers, get in there before we shoot you, and whatever. Sorry, yeah. Anyway, it was fun, man. It was a quick trip, and the only thing is, so I had initially planned the train left at 6:50. Wait, what? No, 5:55. Yeah, so the train was supposed to leave at 6 o'clock. And get there at 8, and the plan was for me to rush to the comedy club and meet up with my cousin. But you know what they say about plan, man. Plan, God laughs, whatever, or whatever. As you could plan a pretty picnic, but you can't predict the weather. Yeah. So the train ran late, and I got into Montreal later than I intended. And at the same time, I changed my mind. I'm like, yo, I had my knapsack and I had my CPAP machine, BiPAP machine. And if you don't know what a BiPAP machine is, you might be too young for this podcast. And whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to the fucking comedy club with this shit on me. So I checked into my hotel and dropped it off, and then headed to the comedy club. And the thing that sucks is that we had initially planned to eat dinner at a restaurant, nearby restaurant. It's actually a restaurant that's associated with the comedy club. I forget the name of it. And I, sorry, I'm laughing. I forget the name of the club, but I do remember the huge breast that one of the bartenders had. And I was like in La La Land. I'm like, oh, goddamn, what you are, man. Anyway, whatever. Okay, focus. focus. As soon as I thought of the bar, I thought of the lady and her breasts. All right, okay. So the plan was to meet at this restaurant, which is associated to the club, eat, and then go to the club. Well, I got there. By the time I got there, it was pretty much time for, like, it was like 5 minutes for them to, like, grab us to head towards the comedy club. And I'm like, okay, you know what, fuck it. I'll just eat in the comedy club. Only to find out that these motherfuckers don't serve food at the comedy club. Now, I don't know how y'all do things in Quebec. In Quebec. Now, it's, I don't know. I guess it's a policy. I don't know if it's specific to this particular club, but yeah, they don't serve food. The only food that they had was peanuts and what do you call it? Olives. And $9 for olive, a little small plate, like you know, like a cendrier, like what do you call that? Where you put your ashes in? Well, it was a plate. It was a bowl that was the size of an ashtray. And there was, so olives and some peanuts. Good thing I wasn't sleeping over. Anyway, yeah, I'm kind of griping. Anyway, all right, so I get there, and and I say all this for the fact that I'm there on an empty stomach, first world problems, on an empty stomach, and the only thing I got to eat was nuts and olives. So it kind of like messes up the experience of the comedy show. It's hard for me to enjoy a comedy show on an empty stomach. That's all I'm trying to say. Anyway, so, but, you know, I had the bit. There are people who have it a lot worse than me, but I'm just saying, yeah. First world problems. My parents did not immigrate to this country for me to be starving. Anyway, so I ate enough to be able to say, to tell my stomach to shut the fuck up, enjoy the show. And then the show started, right? Me Benson Sylvain. It's funny, it's only after hearing his name that I'm like, okay, now it's easy to pronounce. Before I was like, Jesus, I was feeling like a racist white person. I was like, God damn. Another name that's not in the Bible. Me Benson. Dude's a Haitian. He's Haitian too. Should have known. Name like that. Anyway, it was a good show, man. Dude was funny. if he's lucky I wasn't rating him. I wasn't coaching. And because, again, the empty stomach would have been like, what the fuck? What do you mean I didn't get 10 out of 10? Ah, look, man. Next time, open the kitchen up. Anyways, yeah, so, no, I enjoyed the show. It was in French. You know, it's wild going to a comedy show in French as a person who's used to hearing comedy in English. And it was like I felt like I'm listening to the show and the whole time I'm applauding myself for understanding French. French, my first fucking language. Come on, see, long maternelle, my first language, and I'm applauding myself because I'm like, I understand what he's saying. How am I doing that? And that's what happens when you grow up as a Franco-Ontarian. Well, at least that's how I grew up. As you speak English so often that you forget that you forget your second language. Yeah. All right. Great show. Enjoyed myself. I'm trying to comment on, like, the difference in cultural shit. You know what? I'm not going to get into content. I'm just going to leave it as it was a good show. The, because I wrote down, good show, expensive venues. And what I meant by that, okay, the venue, Le Bordel, to me, and maybe it's just because I'm from Ottawa and I'm used to just going to two comedy clubs, but this place looks like some state-of-the-art shit. Just because they had a camera on the side and whatever. It was a nice club. This is what I'm trying to say. It was a really nice comedy club. This is what I get for not going out of town, going to big cities more often. Because I'm looking, I go, wow, this is amazing. Whatever, right? I was kind of surprised that they didn't have like a whites-only section, you know, because it is Montreal in the province of Quebec, and whatever. And, yeah, when I go to Montreal, I'm always expecting some racism. But, you know, put a pin on that one. All right, so again, great show, headed home. I went to, I was there with my cousin, and then, you know, we went our separate ways because I went to my hotel, and then and she went to her, she went back home. And so, yeah, after the show, like I said, because things didn't go up to plan, like I said, I had like a my BiPAP machine. I just remembered the PAP, P-A-P part. Bi means bidirectional, but the PAP stands for pressure, positive airway, or pressure airway. Ah, fuck it. I forget what it means again. Whatever, it doesn't matter. All right. In order to use my BiPAP machine, I need some distilled water, right? Now, you're probably telling yourself, why don't you bring distilled water with you? And this is because I took for granted. I assume Montreal, or at least the last time I was in Montreal was, hold on a sec. I was going to say pre-COVID. No, that's not true. But I do remember a time in Montreal where everything was open. Shit was, you finding a store, like a pharmacy open 24/7, not a problem. Well, in this particular case, not easy. Oh, wait, I was there on a Wednesday. Maybe that was the problem. Anyway, so long story short, I tried to get like a, what do you call that? I tried to get distilled water delivered to me. And I went through, trust me, there's a story to all this, right? I went through Uber Eats. Uber Eats has a grocery section. And I asked, hey, I looked up the image and said, yep. Yeah, at the Dépanneur, they sell smart water. And smart water is a variety of smart water. One of them has distilled water. And I selected that. And I put a big-ass note saying, hey, please make sure that if you the smart water says distilled water. Homie shows up, and he didn't get the one with the distilled water. And, yeah, I was pissed. I mean, I didn't express my anger to this guy, but I was like, damn, man, fuck, man. I'm like, damn, do you do also Uber? Because I was going to ask him, if you're Uber, can you drive me to the location and whatever so I could see for myself, so I could pick it up for myself? And he goes, no, I'm not Uber. But, and this is the reason I'm telling you, why the fuck are we talking about distilled water? Because homie was like, hey, do you want me to drive you there? I'm like, sure, I mean, can I pay you? My point is, the dude drove me to the Dépanneur. I believe you English call it a convenience store. He drove me to the Dépanneur for free. And I was like, so. Have you ever had someone, a complete stranger, give you a kindness that you didn't feel you deserved? That's how I felt. It was wild because, you know, this is like in the middle of the night, but it's back in Montreal, and this dude is, you want me to drive you there? And I'm like, yeah. And it just hit me. I just got in the car with a complete stranger. I went from, I'm getting in the car with a complete stranger, but, you know, 6'1" black guy, whatever. You know what I mean? 300 pounds. I mean, come on, dude. Whatever. But anyway, so, but that's not the point. The point is, homie drove me to the place. And I couldn't find it. And he actually offered to bring me somewhere else. And I'm like, nah, no thanks. No, like, at this point, I was like, yeah, you know, Jesus does not want me to. I should have planned ahead. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I appreciate your kindness. Nah, just bring me back. And he brought me back and things were cool. So, but all this to say, the only thing that bothers me is I wish, had I known this dude would have been kind, I wish I would have planned to, like, I didn't I wish I had tipped him better. That's what I'm trying to get at. I wish I had tipped him better, but yo, because I offered the dude money, he wouldn't take it, and he was like, I think part of the reason when he said, hey, do you want me to drive you to another location? I said no. Part of me was like, there's no fucking way I'm letting you drive me somewhere and you not taking this fucking money. No way, man, because then I'm going to feel like a hoe. But there's just people out there who want to do kind things. And the reward is just doing it. But I'm on the flip side. I'm the kind of person who's like, yeah, sorry, man. Nah, I don't deserve this. You too. Come on, man. You're going to make me cry. Stop. Fuck that. You're trying to make me tear up. You're trying to make me join a cult. Fuck that. No way. Drive me home. Anyway, yeah. So, but lesson learned is next time you travel with your BiPAP machine, don't assume things done change. Either bring a bottle with you or buy it when you arrive while the pharmacies are still open. Just don't mess up there. All right. Okay. Now, so aside from running out of distilled water and not eating, having to eat after the comedy club. I'd say that those were the worst things that happened. So I'm saying it's been a good, my point is it's been a good trip up until I wake up, check out from my hotel. And so my train, the train that I planned to take was leaving at 11:55 or something like that. So the plan was to get some breakfast and then head towards the train station and hang out there, get a big ass breakfast. Now, I had Googled some location. I was overwhelmed with options. Goddamn Montreal, you know, with options. So instead, what I did is I'm just going to walk at the first breakfast joint that I find. I'm going to take it. Big mistake. I went to this place called, I think it's this place in, I'm going to write a really bad review for these people. But okay, just the setup. I find this place. It had like a picture on the corner of Saint-Laurent and René Lévesque towards the back. And they had an image showing AM, PM, AM. Basically, there was like a symbol showing they were serving breakfast. And the menu, it wasn't looking like menu, but it looked like a nice place. That's what I'm trying to say. It looked like a nice place. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I walk in. Spidey sense were tingling. No. Actually, from the outside, and you look at the presentation, it looked beautiful. So I walk in, and hostess, there was a lady at her computer beside her, and then the hostess comes my way, big smile on her face, and I said, "You still serving breakfast?" Because I saw the picture, whatever. She goes, "Yeah, but it's a buffet." And I'm like, "Ding, ding, ding, ding." Point one, buffet. And then and then she points me at the buffet, and it looked like. Takeout book. It looked like ever go to a really cheap wedding? Not to disrespect the wedding, and the food is being served that as like, anyways, it I don't know how to describe it, but it didn't look like it was meant to be a breakfast buffet. It looked like, hey, someone decided at the last minute, and let's make a buffet. Anyways, and she pointed at the location. That's the buffet, and I see three sections. But what got me is when she said the word bacon. She said, "You got eggs there, bacon, ding, that's all you have." You know what I mean? Fuck it. There's no way you can fuck that up. Bacon, I'm going to stop myself. I'm going to eat a whole bunch of bacon that I'm going to regret eating and then leave a happy customer. Because that's what I think about when I go to breakfast buffet. My first thought is bacon, which even though it's bad for you, So I'm like, okay, it looks like we're going to do this, right? Even though there was a part that was my spider sense were tingling, I was like, I don't know about that. Okay, and this is where I should have listened to my spider sense because I said, "Can I sit anywhere?" She goes, yeah, go ahead, all right. And then I take off my bag, put it on the table, take off my coat, turn around, and this bitch is in front of me with the credit card machine expecting payment. As soon as I got there, I'm like, "You want me to pay now?" She goes, "Yeah, whatever." Okay, you know, big smile on her face, like the disarming smile. I'm like, "Yeah, okay." And in my mind, I'm like, I guess that's how they do shit in Montreal. Even though back of my mind is like, is this shit racial? But whatever, man. And another part of my brain is like, fuck it, man. Bacon, be focused, bacon. All right, so I pay, and I hated the part when I got to tip. I'm like, you know what? 15%. Because I don't know how this shit is going to work out. Whatever. I even regret tipping because I have a policy about not tipping during in the buffets, but whatever the fuck, right? So I paid and she left. My brain is like, hey, everything's going to be all right after you eat this food. Yo, I get to the station. The utensils is all dirty from the previous person who, like there's still, like, scrambled eggs on the utensils used to grab it. And I look at the plate, and it's like, I think the word is, en français, it's des soucoupes. It's like fucking side plates. And I'm like, hey, where are the plates? Goes, oh, we're out of plates? And I'm like, I know, I only see these small plates. Goes, no, those are the plates. Like, bitch, whatever, right? So I, it's amazing. I want you to understand, I'm the guy who doesn't like to quote unquote make a fuss in restaurants, all right? Shout out to you assertive people going, man, I wouldn't have tolerated that bullshit. Well, good for you, all right? Again, I'm still healing. All right, so minus one. There's still scrambled egg from the last motherfucker who used it. I'm like, whatever, man. I'm going to use that plate to grab my scrambled eggs, assuming that no one licked this shit. And then there's like, so there's three items to eat. There's eggs. Oh, did I mention the place where it was supposed to be bacon? It's fucking ham. Ham. I get it. I realize this is some first world problems, but it was ham. And I was like, And I'm looking for, okay, how am I going to grab the ham? Because they only had two utensils, like two things to grab it, and three food items. And so I'm like, I'm looking at the lady. How am I supposed to grab these potatoes? Nah, just use, like, this chick is talking to me like I don't know how to use fucking utensils. I'm like, but am I going to cross-contaminate shit? Whatever. I'm like, you know what? Just get it over with, right? So so I grab Now I know where this is going. So whatever, man. Put the food on my plate, and then saw there was some croissant. Croissant was good, and the coffee, and then boom, right? If I have to, like, go positive and negative, the one positive, the croissant. The croissant was good, and the coffee. Everything was negative, okay? Now, as soon as I take my first bite, that's when I got mad. That's when the my ancestors were like, man, they punked you, nigga. You got punked. I'm like, not only did they make me pay in advance, I felt like they played me. I felt like this is why we charge you in advance, because we know that you're going to want to leave. You're not going to want to pay. You're gonna probably throw the table down. You're probably going to have a tantrum. This shit sucks. So we want to grab your money now. That's how I felt like I got played. And I was going from either I got played or I got racially profiled, but I was fucking pissed. I was pissed. I took the eggs. The ham was bland. The potatoes, okay. The potato were like tater totters. Eh, whatever. You can't fuck up tater totters. It was cold. Yeah. Tater totter was average. Was mediocre. Everything else sucks. And I'm like, yeah. I'm no way. I'm going for any seconds. I had my croissant, right? I drank my coffee, didn't finish it, and I'm like, there's no way, and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to finish going for any seconds, and I'm like, this is the first time I'm going to a buffet, and I'm going to leave it hungry. That's never happened in my history of existence. That has never happened. So I'm just fueled. Now, I want you to understand, I am not the Mr. Make a Fuss part. But that day, there was a part of my brain that's like, yeah, usually we're not, but today is the day. There's no fucking way I'm leaving this place, and having these white folks believe that, hey, we played him. Sucker. You know? I was so angry. I'm like, yeah, Karen mode activated. So, okay. I just realized that would add okay. And this is where this is what really triggered me, is that a white old couple comes in, and I get the feeling that this place was associated to a hotel or whatever, but they walked in and they said, hey, we're back, whatever, right? And they sit down and they have breakfast, and I noticed that they didn't get charged. I think that's the part that Karen mode activated. I'm like, yeah, fuck this bullshit. So I went to the hostess. I was like, hey, what's the name of this fucking place? She spoke French, so I had difficulty. Essentially, it's called Estrella, whatever, right? And I was trying to get her to spell it, and but her French and the English, whatever. I did speak. I actually do this in Montreal. Is when I feel some hostility, then I use the French to say, hey, I'm one of y'all. I mean, the skin doesn't look like it, but I'm like, hey. So I dropped the French, and I dropped the French. I start using French, and she had no idea. But she said, yo, who's the manager? And she pointed to me, to the lady who was sitting in front at her computer. And I walked over there. Now, again, I want you to realize that I am not Mr. Fuss Person. So I'm feeling nervous. I feel like I'm about to get on stage and do a presentation that the audience may not like. Okay, because of budget cuts, all y'all are getting laid off. That's how I felt like. So I'm walking towards the lady. I'm feeling nervous, but I'm angry. I'm fucking angry. A part of my brain is, no way you're leaving this place. telling yourself what you woulda, coulda, shoulda done. Nah, fuck that. They're gonna feel your pain. So I walked over, white lady, and I was expecting defensiveness. I was expecting being like, so I let her have it. Now, because when I say I let her have it, I'm like, because I had to psych myself up to do it, so I had to use my rage. I had to use rage as my fuel. So I can only imagine how my face looked like, because I remember speaking to the woman, expecting, trying to get words in before she's like, well, before she cuts me off. She doesn't. So I ripped in. I said, yo, this is the first buffet that I've gone to that I'm going to leave hungry, right? The eggs were cold. The potatoes, this. I pointed out everything that was whack. And then I took a long pause. I remember taking a pause. I'm like, and another thing, if you're going to charge people in advance, you should put up a sign. I really wanted to say, bitch, you charged me, but you didn't charge this white couple. Again, don't want to be that guy. It's funny, huh? On this podcast, I sound like a tough guy. But in real life, I'm like, meow, whatever, right? So I'm like, look, I really wanted to say, bitch, the fuck, okay, do I look, you know. Sorry. What does Marcellus Wallace look like? I told him, look, if you're going to charge people in advance, you should put up a sign that you do that. And I wanted to say so, and then I punked off. I said some shit like, so people know that's how you do things, something like that there, right? And I still remember the look. Okay, I'm hyped up. I'm jacked up on estrogen, not aluminum. What the fuck is that thing? adrenaline. Jesus Christ, estrogen, adrenaline. Anyway, I'm jacked up on adrenaline, and I let her have it again because I'm not the Mr. Speak His Mind Up like that. Whatever, right? And it always comes out when I'm trying to be assertive. It usually comes out as aggressive. So. Let her have it. I'm shocked that she hasn't interrupted me. And then she hears me out. Because she hasn't. Yeah, she hears me out. And she says, she offers, do you want a refund? And in my mind, I'm like, I'm feeling uncomfortable right now. Fuck that. I'm out. So I just said, nah, cool. I'm out. I wish I would have said, nah, keep the money. Because by the time I'm done with this place, you're going to need that money. I wish I was that kind of lawyer. But I was just. It took a lot out of me to do that. I don't usually do that. I don't usually make a fuss or assert myself when it comes to bad service. I tolerate a lot of bullshit, and it just goes to show that's how much they fucked up. Like, there's low levels of fucked upness. If I knew a lawyer, I would send that place to the, burn that place to the ground. Anyways, all y'all fired. I remember said, because again, on adrenaline, and I'm feeling uncomfortable, I'm outside my comfort zone, and I said, no, that's cool, and I just walked out, angry. But as I'm walking out, I'm remembering the look on that white woman's face. That bitch looks scared. Because again, I was expecting defensiveness, I was expecting fighting back, something tells me she's not used to conflict, or whatever, man. Well, I'm kind of fucking surprised. I mean, holy shit, this place was terrible. But the look on that woman's face, it looked like she was scared. And I was like, I remember walking and feeling a little bad. Because again, like I said, my assertiveness comes out as aggressiveness. And I went from, first, there was a little part of me that was feeling guilty. I'm like, oh, poor white woman. Scared the shit out of her. And then, but then when I told my cousin about it, I was like, what? That's not a Montreal thing. They paid you in, they charge you in advance. So I got mad again. I'm like, man, fuck that bitch. It was amazing how I went from, oh man, I feel guilty, to, oh man, I wish I said more. I kind of wish I stuck around to get my refund. But I didn't want to stay there longer than I need to. But again, like I said, when I go to Montreal, anywhere in the province of Quebec, anytime I'm getting bad service, in a restaurant, my brain always goes to, is it racism or sheer incompetence? In this particular case, I think it's a bit of both. I think when the lady took my money, my assumption was, that's what I thought is, look, I'm over here talking to my friend, so let's just get it over with. Let me just get your money now so we don't have to handle, like, that's what I thought. But even if that was the case, then that's some sheer incompetence because you're supposed to pass by, do you want some water? Is everything okay? Can I suck your dick? You know what I mean? Like what the fuck? Make me feel welcome. And one thing I feel like I felt like asking is this, look, am I in a bad neighborhood? Because I feel like I got some bad neighborhood treatment. I had my this is me blaming the victim here. I had my knapsack and I had my FUBU winter jacket and it's really puffy and my hoodie on the back and two knapsack and I'm like, oh, okay, you know what? I could see how I could look like I'm not blaming myself, but I felt like, and that's because that made it worse. I felt like I was the guy that just got off the street and they're like, we need to get him to pay us in advance. It was so insulting. It was some fucking goddamn insulting. And I remember thinking, the train ride, I'm going to have a pretty breakfast and everything's going to be all right. And it's going to be, can't wait to talk about it on the podcast. And they fucking ruined it. Worst breakfast buffet ever. You know, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to this place, man. I think I might write a review, but fuck. Oh, just thinking about it, so angry. I can already picture the conversation with my therapist about, like, but you said something. That's what counts. Yeah, you're right. Like, I should be celebrating the fact that, you know, gratitude that I said something because there was a version of me that would have been like, don't be that guy. But nope. Karen mode activated. What kills me is the hostess, the smile she kept giving me, like, it's all good. It's like, it makes me wonder if, like, during the Holocaust, and one of the soldiers there, like, oh, man, I want to give great service. Like smiles, like, hey, come on in, you know what I mean? And smiled as they turned on the gas chamber. Hey, clink! Welcome to Auschwitz! Don't forget to fill out your survey. Cling! You know what I mean? It's like, it's because in the movies, when someone's doing racist shit, it's always like, yeah, paying a debt, nigger. Or me and my clan boy will hang you. No, she was like innocent, like sheer innocence, like nothing is wrong. It's like, hey, paying a debt, please. I'm like, that's kind of weird. Nah, you know, you don't think that's kind of a look? You're making the black guy paying a debt. You don't think that's kind of fucked up? No, that's how we do business. So it's, that's what it is. Growing up with white people, as a black person, you find yourself constantly always giving white people the benefit of the doubt. I'm in this mode. I'm like, why the fuck am I paying in advance? But the way she was smiling, I mean, how could someone smiling like that do evil shit? And she did. Arsh the fascist. I was so fucking pissed. But I got over it. Hopped onto a cab. Cab drove me to the, okay, why was it more expensive? It was a different story. Anyway, hopped up into a cab to the train station because it was a little chilly that day. And again, like I said, I'm pissed. And I found another breakfast place. And the breakfast place in the La Gare Centrale, Central Station, was good. Only thing that sucked is the garbage that I had previously eaten was taking up space, so I couldn't finish it. But, and they had bacon. Anyway, yeah, man, I ended up having breakfast at the Grand Central Station. Next time, if I do this trip again by train, I'm going to eat at that breakfast joint. I know better. Yeah, I'll know better. Anyways, and you know what's fucked up is I Googled the place where I had the bad breakfast and it didn't have any bad ratings. Oh, well, something tells me that the evening, they do better than the breakfast felt like, oh, the boss wants us to serve breakfast, so fuck it. Let's just force ourselves. Let's just put some breakfast in the microwave and whatever. Put some day old, whatever, man. It was like zero effort breakfast joint. Anyway, okay, one last story is a lot of thinking went on this trip, right? One last story before about this trip that I went on. I should have made the breakfast part at the end. So while I was waiting for my train, I got in line, and like everyone does, I'm fondling my phone. I'm on my phone. I'm not sure what I'm watching. I know it was important. I'm not that stupid. All right, so I'm on my phone, and minding my own business, right? Then I feel like a bump behind me, like something pushing me from behind. I'm like, oh, that's what. And I turn around, and there's this white kid, and I'm saying white kid, but he like must have been like in his early 20s, something like that. But white kid, and his eyes look kind of closed, and it's as if it's as if he was reading over my shoulder. He was that close. And I turn around, and then this older gentleman jumps in, pulls him back, goes, no, you don't do that, whatever, right? And then I realized that, okay, the old guy must be the caretaker, and this kid might be on the spectrum or something, or blind, I don't know, or something like that. But he goes, no, whatever. I don't remember if he apologized. But I remember he pushed him back, and I understood the situation. Dude bumped into me, whatever, and then I go back to my phone. But I overhear him in the back, and the dude is talking to him. It's like, you don't do that, okay? This is why I won't. If you keep doing shit like that, I won't take you out. Now you pissed him off, and all kinds of things. You see, you're not supposed. The whole time he's talking, the kid's like, I just wanted to talk to the guy, I just wanted to talk to the guy, you know, really, really innocent voice. And the dad's like, no, I'm going to paraphrase, but it was the equivalent of, that's how you get shot, right? It kind of sounded like the dad was like, those people, because he put a lot of emphasis on you pissed him off, as opposed to, oh, that's not how you get someone's attention. And then I'm like, And I overhear the conversation, so I turn around, looked at the dude, said, oh, no, dude, I'm all good. It's whatever, right? And I actually wanted to talk to the dude, to the kid, and said, nah, dude, you just scared me for a bit. And also, I'm the kind of person who, like, sparks conversations with strangers, so I could connect to that, wanting to talk to someone you don't know. I know what that's like. He just went about it in a way, you know, that violated social norms, right? You don't bump into the guy and then, hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? You know what I mean? But it was just so innocent hearing him. I just wanted to talk to the guy. And he was like, no, you don't do that. And blah, and other stuff like that. Why? Well, because you might get shot. Whatever. He didn't use the word shot, but he was like, he could have punched. I can't remember the words, but he made it sound like it was like, the whole fear people you don't know. It felt like he was communicating the message of you don't know people, you got to fear them, as opposed to the polite way to go about it is, excuse me, sir, you know, I mean, grabbing your attention. No, it's like he was saying, don't talk to strangers. And then the worst part is he said, like, yo, keep pulling shit like that and I'm never letting you out of the house. Shit like that. He was saying some fucked up shit like that. Now, I remember turning around to the old man and say, no, I'm cool, whatever, you know, and stuff. He goes, no, no. He smiled and he goes, that smile again. He goes, no, I'm trying to teach him. I'm trying to teach him how to be out in public, something like that. I'm like, oh, okay. So that put me in a mode of shut the fuck up, let him do his thing. But I really did not like what he was telling his kid. It was the equivalent of, and I'll put it this way. I know I like to talk about being a super thug. I like to act like I'm the kind of person that it don't take nothing but bucking for me to start fronting. Let me get the line. How's it go again? Party and bullshit. Yeah, the light goes, it don't take nothing but frontin' for me to start something, bucking and bucking at niggas like I was duck hunting. Yeah, sometimes I like to, you know, all the rap songs I listen to, I like to look like I'm that guy, but I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy, you know what I mean? Some of my favorite white people are the ones who are like, yeah, come on, man. You ain't no thug. I'm a thug. But it was as if It's like I should be flattered. It's as if, okay, let me put it this way. It would have been different if, yo, that dude is he's a gangster. He's a thug. You know, not a thug, but that dude is a gangster. He runs Sixth Street. You know, he heard about the Rolexes and the Lexus and the Texas. He heard that I had half Virginia locked down. I would have been, like, flattered. I'd be like, yeah, you know what I mean? You know, and he gets bitches. So, you know, you can't be in his presence. It would have been different if that's what he was telling this kid. But it sounded like he was saying, dude, holy shit, we nearly got shot. Those people, it's as if he was, like, I wanted to talk to the dude and just to get his thoughts about, let me hear what you have to say about black people. Did you vote for Trump? Are you driving a Tesla right now? Have you guys seen the movie, the TV show, The Good Doctor? A friend of mine made me think about that because I was thinking about it. It's like, maybe this kid was autistic, right? And that's the vibe that I got from this kid, the guy who bumped into me. Maybe he was autistic and he, like, you know, just figured out social norms. Like, he's not aware of social norms. And he just genuinely was trying to talk to me. And the thing is, I would have talked back because, you know, because I like to talk to strangers. Of course, I want to tell them about my shitty breakfast experience. I guess what gets me is his innocence, the autistic aspect. I wanted to hug the kid. That's what I'm trying to say, man. It was like hearing him like, why can't I talk to him? Why? And his dad's being like, people are evil. I got shot by one of those people. And whatever. Anyway, it was an interesting experience, so to speak. Anyway, so then I got on the train back to Ottawa. And then it was a quick trip. Really comfortable, man. I recommend it. Even though I was in the poor people class, I didn't mind. But yeah, it was a great trip. Helped that, you know, I got a seat all to myself. And it was fun. It was fun, man. VRL. Yeah, so if I were to summarize my trip, VRL, 5-on-5, even though they were late. The experience with the autistic kid, you know, that was a good experience. Yeah, the only zero is the breakfast joint, man. If you hear me talk bad about the trip, was my experience at the breakfast joint. Yeah, burn it down. I want to burn it down. And this concludes today's episode, gang. Today's episode, okay, this makes up for the last episode that I missed out on. I also want to, in the other links section, I told you there's like a Trump and Elon section, something about Lucy Parson. This one falls on, the clip I'm sharing about Lucy Parson falls under
You Must Learn.
One of those. And the last one is soy sauce pan fried noodles. Holy shit, it's as easy as that. Yeah, shout out to anyone who doesn't cook or who's like got beginner cooking skills. And I just recently made that. And damn, I mean, I wouldn't sell it in a restaurant. I was serving it as a breakfast buffet, but it was good. I was trying to say, yeah, it was a really simple recipe, and shout out to the content creator for sharing that. All right, again, this concludes today's episode. Website is whatshutuppodcast.com, whatshutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? That's a long way to say it. Black folks who are outcast. Anyways, this episode was rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff record label, that's a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. And your mama. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I am your king now.